Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure. It's like a dream come true for me to be able to be here with you today and to share some ideas with you and to introduce you to some really smart people. One of those guys is our good friend Steve Kaplan. Steve is the author of a book that I told you about a while back when it first came out, Bag the Elephant, How to Win and Keep Big Customers. You know, that's a topic you and I've talked about, folks, many times over the years. He's also the author of the brand new book, Be the Elephant, Build a Bigger, Better Business. And he knows from what he speaks, because he actually built his own company, Sampling Corporation of America, from a home-based teeny tiny business into a 1,300 employee company over a number of years. And he's been helping since then. He's been helping companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace, companies like yours and mine. And I'm glad to say he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure. My audience knows, Steve, that I've been talking to them. One of the things I love talking to small business owners about is how to have a little better image of yourself in your own mind, how to realize that in today's marketplace, two things are happening. Number one, big companies are outsourcing more and more things every day. And number two, technology is giving us the ability to go out and get some of that outsourced business that 20 years ago, Steve, you and I could never have gotten because the groundwork just wasn't there. The environment wasn't there. But today, small business owners can do business with big business that can make a world of difference in our companies.
Absolutely. And not only big business, but they can do it on a global basis, which was unheard of. So you, not only can you get the big accounts, and part of the reason not only is because, you know, as small companies, we're so flexible, and we can turn on a dime for them and really be a good aspect in their arsenal, but technology-wise allows us, again, to deliver things, you know, regionally, globally, you know, things enhance our propositions far beyond what we could have done.
Right. You know, Steve, I was observed all this happening, this evolution of outsourcing. I observed this happening beginning really in the late 70s, but really it reached critical mass in the late 80s and early 90s, and the vendor reduction programs is what they were calling it, you know, and all the vendor reduction programs, and also companies were they'd have, you know, you take a plant in your neighborhood, in your area, in your town, might have you know, everything that they did there, they painted a wall, it was an employee who did that. They mowed the yard, an employee did that. They maintained a machine, an employee did that. But the company started laying those employees off. You know, I'm not saying whether that's good or bad, but they did, and they started outsourcing those jobs because they said, why would we do jobs that aren't our core competency? Why don't we hire that done through contract? And as you know, Steve, many small businesses were born at that moment. Some guy got laid off, and he said, well, but boss, you're still going to need your walls painted. I'll start a business and do that. And boss said, sure, no problem.
Yeah, you know, and absolutely. It's funny, it's again kind of the old adage that necessity breeds opportunity, you know?
that's
the other way around, you know?
That's exactly right. And in fact, that's not unlike how my business got started in 89.
Yeah, a lot of businesses, a lot of people who are smart not only start their businesses with this opportunity, but they also see ways to enhance their business. You know, how can they go horizontally, add maybe another service, you know, something else that's similar to what they do, that's a similar core competency, and how can they expand their small business to take that new piece of business and grow a little that way.
Well, and the other thing, the words I've tried to use in the past has been to encourage small business owners to become vertically integrated with these big companies, to realize that you not only, you know, don't be a vendor with these big companies. Be one of their partners. Become vertically integrated. Get to the point where you get invited to planning meetings.
Yeah, if you're really doing your job, and it's interesting, that's kind of what I talk about a little more in the first book, but if you're doing your job with your clients, big or small or medium, you're really spending time to really truly assess and understand what their needs are, and they need that. And really what their needs are, as you just said, is your opportunity. And that's one of the easiest ways to grow, and one of the biggest things that we as small businesses don't always do, because we're buried in the sand, chugging ahead, trying to really, really over-deliver on what we're doing, that we kind of lose sight a little bit of these other opportunities.
Stand by, Steve. Folks, now that we've got our business, got you oriented properly, and you're ready to take off when we come back, Steve's going to tell you how to be the elephant. That's right, how to build a bigger, better business. He knows how to do this because he did it. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Kaplan. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I encourage you to check out my websites, smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the archives and thousands of articles. The blog is there. We update that every weekday. The newsletter, you can subscribe to that there. That comes on Sunday by email, gets you ready for the week ahead. So check that out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use all of our stuff for free. And thanks to our corporate partners. And, of course, AskJim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you can go to get small business answers right now. Type in a question, get an answer. Maybe many answers. So check that out. Use it to your advantage. It's free, too, thanks to our corporate partners. Steve Kaplan is our guest. He's on our websites, and he's the author of Bag the Elephant and the new book, Be the Elephant, Build a Bigger, Better Business. Steve, okay, so in the last segment, you helped us build our businesses to the point where we're ready to take off, and we now understand about becoming vertically integrated with these bigger customers, and now all of a sudden we're looking a little bit like an elephant. How do we behave when we get to that point?
Well, you know, the thing to realize, of course, for a lot of the listeners out here is I use the term elephant to mean big business, but it doesn't necessarily mean Fortune 100 business. You know, you don't have to be a billion-dollar business to be an elephant and to be able to control the marketplace. If you're the biggest kid on the block, you're the elephant on that block. You know, if you can affect.
Okay, how about using the word? You know, one thing we know about elephants in the jungle in Africa, elephants are the dominant mammal on the continent of Africa. They're not dominant like lions are, but they're the dominant. They're the big kid on the block. So could we use the word dominate? In other words,
sure.
You know, isn't it possible for a small business owner to dominate?
Absolutely, and there's a lot of ways to do that. I mean, you can, you know, yeah, absolutely. If you have any kind of scale and you're affecting that to get better pricing from your suppliers, for example, I mean, that's elephant behavior. I mean, that's dominate company behavior. There's a lot of ways to, you know, that you can leverage that. And the thing to begin when you first start is to make sure that your business is sound. If you implement growth strategies and the stuff I talk about, it works. But the thing we have to make sure of is that you don't grow too quickly and implode. So if your infrastructure ready, if your business model is successful, meaning if you sell more, you're not gonna all of a sudden find yourself in the poorhouse.
Right.
And that does happen because, you know, sometimes a business model is not right and we're growing our business and we're cash flow making money, but we're not really making a lot of quality profit on there. So just make
well,
sure
or we may be profitable, but if we're growing so much that we can't fund that growth, it is possible. And this is a phenomenon that is totally counterintuitive, and it blows people away. And there are many people out there who are out of business right now, and they don't know why, and it's because they literally succeeded themselves out of business.
You know, exactly. If we all take a look at our business, if we say we're going to go into our business tomorrow and it's going to be five times its size, can we handle that? You know, our organization, can we do customer service? Can we deliver on our contracts? et cetera, et cetera.
Can we collect our money when we make a sale in a time that's reasonable to when we have to pay our money?
Absolutely. You're right. Otherwise, you're not going to have any more money to pay.
That's right.
Cash flow is going to get you. So that's the first thing that we need to do. But once that's done, we can go along, and there's a couple of simple things that I advocate that have worked very well for me and companies that I work with, is understanding one of the things that you're talking about is the kinds of growth, the vertical growth or the horizontal growth. I'm a really huge advocate. You know, people talk so many times about so many different growth strategies, so many different things to do. And for me, there's only two. I mean, you can sell new stuff to the same people or the same stuff to new people.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's not 10 straight. There's two. I mean, you could combine them and maybe do a little bit of both, but there's really only two things. So the question for everybody is, which is the right one for now for their company, right? And then taking a look at this and seeing, all right, you know, based on my revenue streams, the way that I make money, and my client base, you know what, it makes sense for me to expand to a new geography, you know, or it makes sense, you know, to do what we talked about earlier, which is going and selling new things to our existing company. I mean, if you can do that, that is the easier route. I mean, that's what I did. And I sold more things to my existing customer base, and then I assessed their needs, and I came out with a new product, and I grew horizontally that way through what I call operational mandates, which is a really cool, fun thing to do.
And so you focused on, you recognized that it was more efficient to try to give your existing customers more of what they needed than it was to go out and find a new customer.
It is. And it's
not that you weren't looking for new customers, but you weren't forsake. Some companies forsake their existing customers. They take them for granted while they're trying to find new customers. And that's a fool's errand, isn't it?
It is, because so many times it happens you're trading one for one, you know, right, or two for
or,
one.
Or maybe a half for one.
yeah, and you're not netting up well. But the other thing, quite honestly, is a byproduct that as small business owners, there's only so much we can do. You know, many times we can't afford to go and hire 10 more sales reps. It's us. I mean, my company was pretty big, but still a small business at, say, $30 million. I was still bringing in 80% of the revenue. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only so much of me. Just
right.
Like for a lot of your listeners,
that's right.
There's so much of them. They're in the same position. So if they're traveling or if they're calling a company B when they also need to be at company A, you know, there's only so many hours. So what I tell them is just really understand company A, B, C, and D that you're really spending 80% of your time with, and really get entrenched in that company, really solve their needs, and keep your eyes open for new opportunities there within that relationship that you have, because existing relationships are a lot easier than new ones.
Absolutely. Well said, Steve. That's classic wisdom right there, folks, from somebody who knows. Tintel, we're going to be right back with Steve Kaplan. He's the author of the new book, Be the Elephant, Build a Bigger, Better Business. Steve Kaplan with a K. Stay with us.
Don't you know that? You should know that. Life is a gamble.
We're back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Kaplan. That's Kaplan with a K, K-A-P-L-A-N. And he's the author of Be the Elephant, the new book, which is the follow-up to the bestseller Bag the Elephant. He likes to write about elephants. And, folks, he likes to talk about our big customers that we do business with as elephants, and you and me as becoming elephants, and of course elephants are. I like the animal that you chose, because elephants are noble animals, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are, especially when they pay their bills on time.
That's exactly right. Exactly. Steve, give us your website, please.
Oh, it's stevekaplanlive.com.
stevekaplanlive.com. All right, so check that out, folks. Can they find out more about your books there?
Yeah, they can, and the books are available. The second one, I think, hit number 7 on the New York Times list, and
congratulations.
There's a lot of free stuff for them as well, calculators and such.
Check it out, folks. Use it to your advantage. Okay, Steve, one of the things that I like that you talk about in your book, and we alluded to that a little bit ago, is you talk about the four important statements of growth. And you were getting into that a little bit while ago. We kind of touched on it, but But I like the fact that you told people, you explained to people in your book that you've got to project revenue, you got to project cash flow, you got to project your profit and loss, and you got to project your balance sheets. This is not something that other people talk about this. I talk about this all the time, Steve, but I don't see this enough in books. I don't see this enough in other people talking about this. If I don't know where I would be without my cash flow projection
I built
from scratch, by the way.
Pardon me?
I said I built mine from scratch. And yeah. once you learn how to build a projection statement, your life will change, don't you think?
Cool. You know, a lot of people look at it, including me at times. You know, I'm not a big finance guy, big accounting guy. You know,
me either.
But I've learned through the years. I've learned to love and respect numbers, and you got to do it. But you don't have to be CPAs. You don't have to.
Right.
You know, you don't. What you need to do is you need to have a good grasp on your business. You can have someone for about $600 create, because it's all templated. Most small CPA firms have this. They could put all that stuff together for you, but what you need to provide is the assumptions. How many customers are you going to see?
Mm-hmm.
How much are you going to charge them? What hours are you going to be open? There are things like that. And the beauty of these sheets is what they'll do is they'll give you back these four statements, and they'll be all linked. So you can actually use it as a tool. You can say, you know, I'm going to look at the cash flow statement, and I run out of money in month 16. But if I'm open at 1 hour more a day, or if my pricing for these units is 6 cents more a unit,
right,
or whatever, it changes all the numbers because
it ripples through all of them.
Yeah, 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 and we have to use those because that's the only way we know that that our businesses are actually going to make it. And how many businesses fail? That have been open a year? I mean, amazing amount of.
Most businesses don't fail because they don't have customers.
Right.
They don't fail because they didn't have a good idea. They fail because they didn't have enough capital.
Absolutely right.
Blasingame's second law of small business, Steve, says it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Right.
Because we all are. And if you can't do a cash flow spreadsheet at least. And really tell yourself the truth about when you're going to collect your money and when you're going to have to pay your money, you don't really know whether you have enough money to grow or not.
You don't. And this may sound harsh, but the reason most businesses fail is because they shouldn't have been opened.
That's right.
Because they don't do the cash flow. You know, and you can shape a business that's on the cusp. You can shape it by making quality decisions as you go or before you go if you have the statements behind, if you have the proper projections behind, and they're easy, and I outline easy ways to do all this, but if you do that, and before you're going to start or grow a business, and if you have a business and you haven't done that, I would urge you, even if you have some success, do this exercise. Get those statements. You'll make more, chances are.
Well, it's a beautiful book, folks, and I'll tell you, Steve, you've done a great job of getting some really fundamental down to earth stuff in here that is written in plain English, ladies and gentlemen, and I, Steve, one last thing, understand the relationship between accounts receivable days and accounts payable days. If I could teach people that one thing, I think small business owners would change all over the world, don't you?
Yeah, that flow kills you, or that lack of a flow kills you.
The lack is, in our case, is mostly the lack of flow. Give us your give us your website again, Steve.
Oh, it's Steve Kaplan, KAPLAN live.com.
Thank you, Steve. Good job today, and hope you come back again real soon.
Great to talk with you, Jim. Take care.
Yeah. Steve Kaplan, folks, Be the Elephant. That's the new book. But you really need both of them. The other one's Bag the Elephant. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.